Anna.
Hi, Luke.
Hi. A quick quiz before we start the episode.
Oh, no. Not again.
Sorry. So, if I told you that the town in Italy where house prices have risen the most over the past 10 years is 12 minutes from Lake Garda, would you believe me?
I mean, not sure about Lake Garda specifically, but everyone says Italian property has been falling for a decade.
And they are right. But that town is up 80%. So both of those things are true. And that's what we're talking about today.
Okay, go on then.
It's Saturday morning in Italy, and you're listening to the Magic Towns Italy podcast.
Welcome back to Magic Towns Italy. I'm Luca.
And I'm Anna.
Hi, Anna. So we spent the past few weeks talking to people that have had various experiences buying property in Italy. We had two podcasts with Jen and one with Tim Epstein. You can find them in our archives. And today we are going to dispel one of the commonest stereotypes about property prices in Italy.
If you buy in Italy, be prepared to lose money.
Yes, how many times? Oh, what a tragedy. We see this in all these expat groups. It's usually, who is it, Anna? It's John from Glasgow.
John from Glasgow.
Yeah, has he ever even been to Italy? Anyway, in this case, it is true to some degree, but it's complicated, as Facebook used to say. We have a number of sources for property prices at Magic Towns, but this time we're taking the official route.
Why official? What does it mean?
Yeah. So the Italian tax office has a department, and their job is to report what's happening to the property market. Twice a year, for tens of thousands of neighborhoods in Italy, they cover how much homes are worth and how many change hands. So in this data, a village might be one neighborhood, and Milan, for instance, is 37 neighborhoods.
And this is public data?
It is public, but guess what? It's a nightmare to get it. And this is what the tax office itself uses to decide whether the price you declared on a sale is believable. So it's not listing prices, it's the taxman's actual assessment of how much people pay.
And we've got it.
Yes, we have got all of it. It's every neighborhood in Italy, going back to 2004, 22 years, 7.5 million data points. Now people are going to be like, oh, it's a snooze fest, this podcast. But we're not asking you to look at the data. We're just telling you what we learned from it and how useful it's going to be for you. And talking about how useful it's going to be for you, the pattern I'm excited about is that as of this week, we have wired the property price history onto every town on Magic Towns. Each town profile has a section called Neighborhoods and Property Prices, and behind there's a map. And if you look at a neighborhood, you can see prices, how it's moved in the years, and what is built there by age, by occupancy, how many people are there, so many things.
Interesting. So every town, not just the big ones.
7,870 towns.
Wow, another Luca tool, this time for property finders. What about the story we started with?
The story is the contradiction. Italian property is a bad investment. Towns are emptying, that the 1 euro houses. And you've heard this 100 times.
Yeah, reading it 100 times.
There is some truth to it. So if you take every neighborhood in Italy and compare it with itself 10 years before, more than half of them are still underwater. And if you account for inflation, which, as you know, has been rampant the past few years, a third of the property value is gone.
A third.
So that uninvestable is the sour taste in the mouth of people who bought across most of the map.
So where is the rest?
But there's two regions that have done reasonably well in the period, even after inflation. Trentino Alto Adige up 14% and Lombardy up 8%. Nearly three quarters of the neighborhoods in South Tyrol at the borders with Austria rose, and everything else fell on average.
Wait, like everywhere, but Tuscany, for example.
Tuscany is down 11. And this is the part, yes, and this is the part that would upset people, that the bottom of the table, the, you know, tankers over the past 10 years, is not the deep south, it's Lazio, the region around Rome, down 16, and Umbria down 20.
No, Umbria, I love Umbria.
Oh, you should be happy, you know, you can buy cheaper in Umbria.
Yeah.
So the heartland of the foreign dream is exactly where prices fell the hardest.
And is recent history better or?
Yeah, so that's a 10-year view, and recent history is better, and we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Okay, so who actually went up over the decade?
The town that I was mentioning before, Cavaglione Veronese, which I'm betting a annual membership none of our listeners have ever been to, is behind the eastern shore of Lake Garda, not too far from Bardolino. 10 years ago, an ordinary home there was changing hands at about €1,300 a square meter. And today the assessed value is about €2,400. So it's up 80%. And this is a real market. It's a town with about 90 houses sold every year.
And why does the number of sales matter?
Well, because if you have a village with two sales, a year can go up 50% because of one sale. So we just don't look in our analysis at very, very small towns and towns where there's maybe one or two or three properties selling per year. We have analyzed the country starting from 50 registered sales per year. Places where you can actually buy something as an expat.
Okay. And like the rest of the list?
Really, it's only two places that have done well over 10 years. The Veronese shore of Lake Garda, Torre del Benaco, Bardolino, that kind of, you know, stretch of land, all up 50 to 60%. And then Milan and its belt. Milan itself is up 51%.
So a lake in a city.
A lake in a city and practically nothing else. And talking about Milan, it kind of deserves a sentence of its own because of how Milan prices rose. In the last 3 years, every one of its 37 neighborhoods have gone up in price. Every single one. The one that rose the least is up 9%.
And the ones that rose most?
That's actually not the center. Bovisa, Maggiolina, the area around Parco Sempione. I think you're familiar with that kind of, you know, area. It used to be there. Over 10 years, Lambrate and the streets behind the Stazione Centrale are up 75 to 80%.
Really? Like, that's, so that's the university and the tech crowd.
Yeah, that's the place where people went to buy who could not afford to buy the very city center. In fact, you know, when I read Lambrate, I was thinking, oh, I wouldn't buy that. But
no, exactly. Sorry. I lived there and I thought it was, I don't know, like...
And you ran away.
Sant'Ambrogio, Muscova, the most central areas. But
yeah, but, you know, and as I said, people bought what they could. And no other Italian city has done this, by the way. Bologna is up 14% in 3 years, which is, you know, we can see that people want to buy in Bologna. Florence and Turin up single digits. Genoa and Bari flat. And Rome
went up, surely.
Nope. The semi-central ring of Rome went up 9 or 10%, but the center is static.
No. So if I bought Italy in 2015, like...
But you'd wish you'd have bought in Milan.
And going back to recent years rather than the 10-year view, is it still falling? Because 2015 to 2025 includes some bad years.
Yeah, it has changed direction carefully a little bit. The last 3 years, the average neighborhood across Italy, not just across these towns, across Italy is up 2%, and more neighborhoods rose than fell. Every region is positive except for Lazio, again, the region around Rome. Molise, just between Abruzzo and Puglia, Sicily and Basilicata. Puglia, which did really badly over 10 years, is actually up 3% over the past 3 years. And we can see that a lot of people want to move to Puglia. And Emilia-Romagna is the same. So most of the country is on the up.
Interesting. So the tide has turned.
Yeah, in the north and along the Adriatic, yes. But I'd say that, you know, these are like a regional conclusions for now. I look at it on a regional basis rather than town by town, just, you know, talking between us.
Okay, so for example, if a town has gone up, should I buy next door or
That's the bet that everyone makes, and the honest answer is a little.
a little? Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
So we actually, you know, this is not like me giving you some my opinion. We looked at the actual boundaries of every neighborhood in Italy and then worked out which towns touch each other. And of course, you know, if you generalize like this, towns move almost exactly with their neighbors. But there's a little artifact. I hope that my listeners are not going to fall asleep, but I'm going to spend 20 seconds explaining this. Towns have their data updated by the local tax office, okay? And these are normally on a provincial basis. So what we looked at is actually across the provinces. So we removed the tax office from this calculation because, you know, maybe there's a tax officer that it says, okay, I'm going to update the data so and so. We made sure that there were different people looking at the data and different tax offices, and we only looked at where different tax offices were responsible for the data. So removing the human component, you might say. And that's still very interesting because growth does cluster. There's a lot of research on this, even in other countries, in the UK, in the US, they've done a lot of research on how price increases propagate and are contagious. So yes, there is some effect. If you buy in a town that is rising, chances are that the one next door has been rising too.
So it doesn't work like a wave.
It's not quite a wave. If you look at Milan, the nearest towns to Milan rose from 2019, and then the next layer out rose from 2022. So it takes a while to expand. And if your neighbor went up 10%, in general, you went up by 4 percentage points more than everyone else. So the wave works, but it kind of gets a little bit less and less as it expands.
And inside a city?
And what works inside the city is the oldest trick in the book. The cheap neighborhood next to the expensive one goes up. It's the Lambrate example from before, right? Like Stazione Centrale. I wouldn't live there again, but the cheap neighborhood gets a little bit of contagion from the expensive one.
Okay. Now the other direction, because a lot of our listeners aren't chasing a rise. They just don't want to buy in a town that's about to fall.
Yeah, I would say that's most of our listeners actually. They just don't want to lose money over the long run. And here is where the explanation is simple and a little bit scary, maybe. Across the time we analyzed, a town that lost 1% of its people a year lost 11% of its value. And a town
A
that grew
lot.
0.5% a year gained 6% in property prices. Basically, a point of population loss costs you about twice as much what a point gain adds. It's you get punished more for losing inhabitants than you gain from adding them.
Yeah. So basically, the decline is faster than growth.
Yeah, but it precipitates prices faster. And the Bank of Italy, I mean, again, there's a lot of research on this. It's nice that our data fits what others have researched in other parts of the world. But it is, I would say, a general law. And the Bank of Italia, Italy's state bank, published the same thing this year over a much longer horizon. And it's the same kind of conclusion directionally. 10% fewer residents, 7% lower prices. And that's the thing that reframes the whole 1 euro house story. That once a home is worth less than it will cost to build, a shrinking town stops getting cheaper.
So, what does it do instead?
So it looks like there's still a price, but the price is fictitious. It doesn't exist. And no one is actually transacting at that price. That's actually why we report the number of sales in every town. So you know that there is still an alive market there.
So, what's the early sign a town is going that way if it's not the price?
And as we said, it's not the price, it's the register of births and deaths, and then how many people move to the town. If in the towns that had boomed in the 70s and the 80s and have aged, deaths are already exceeding births. And what holds them up is people arriving. We're actually doing a ton of research work on this, and we're going to talk about this. maybe in a few podcasts so people don't get too much data in one go. But the sign that you have to keep your eyes open for is net migration turning negative for a few years. And by the way, we have that on the Town Explorer, so you can look up which towns have a shrinking population and know that that doesn't bode very well for property prices.
Okay. So can I go back to Garda? Because like Garda is full of holiday homes, and you just told me that towns full of holiday homes do worse.
Yeah. So yeah, towns that have a lot of empty property or non-lived-in property generally do worse. But Garda went up 60% anyway.
And why?
Because the demand is foreign and seasonal, and you're not going to see that in the population. So when the Germans, the Austrians, and people from Milan buy on the Venetian shore of Lake Garda, those guys are not residents.
Okay, so it's the exception that proves the rule.
I'd say so. It's the exception that shows which rule matters. It doesn't matter who owns the house there. It matters who lives in the town.
Okay, and what should our listeners take away from all of this?
Italy is not one property market. When you see someone message, you shouldn't buy in Italy, it's uninvestable. Remember that over the past 10 years, a lake, a city, and a whole belt of town around the city went up by half where the rest of the country fell. And uninvestable was true, but it was true of three quarters of the map. The address decided whether you were in the part that grew or the part that did not grow. And recent history shows that large parts of the country are turning around.
And where do people find this? Oh, wait. I think that I know the answer.
I think you do know the answer. Yeah. You want to say where?
On the Town Explorer.
Yes, we have this for every town of Magic Towns. So you open a profile, now we have a new section called Neighborhoods and Property Prices. You see the official values for the town, the neighborhoods, how much rents are, how many homes sold last year, and you also see how asking prices on the portals compared to the official ones, which, you know, is a useful one.
Yeah, the last one is the fun one.
Yeah, because listings ask about 10% over the official value. This is one of the standard questions, again. I want to buy a property. How much can I haggle? Well, that depends a lot on the town, and we've actually already given you the answer. So the answer to that would pay for the Magic Town subscriptions for 50 years. So you can say thank you to us after you get the data. All you have to do is go to the See Prices by Neighborhood section. You click it, and then you get the map. You have every neighborhood called by price. You click on one, and then you get its trends. It's 2014. What is actually built there, sale, rent, yield, and change over several years.
And in the Town Explorer?
In the Town Explorer, you can now search towns and sort them by cheapest to rent, cheapest to buy, and mix it with all our filters. So you can say something like, show me beach towns under 1,000 euros square meter with a train station and a hospital within 20 minutes, and you get a real list worked off several tens of millions of indicators that we have on our database. And by the way, you can also search for most expensive to buy to if you want to spend more money. We don't care. We just want to get you what you like.
And this is for members, right?
Yes, it's for members. This is the work that the subscription pays for. You have 22 years of the tax officer's numbers, every neighborhood in Italy, and nobody else has done this work except us. So if you're already a subscriber, run to Magic Towns, because as of yesterday, it's already in your account.
And if you're not?
You know where we are. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, guys. Ciao.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Okay.
That's it for this week on Magic Towns Italy. You can create a free account at magictowns.it and explore over 2,000 towns, including those offering the 7% tax scheme, as well as download dozens of expat guides. We have over 200 data points per town, more than Italy's statistics authority itself, covering everything from property prices to schools, healthcare, crime, and more. If you want full access to filters and unlimited searches, upgrade to Magic Towns Premium. Use the code PODCAST for 20% off an annual plan. Thanks for listening. Our next podcast will be live on Saturday at 9 a.m.